beyond the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show, and I'm over here camping, with me, through the miracle of FaceTime, is my good friend Randall Berger.
Yes, Randall Berger and Bill, and the Bill Show, and yes, he's camping, but that's as in tent. Just one tent, not a row of. So, yes, he's camping, and I'm sitting here in Melbourne. And we're not casting nasturtiums at the LGBTIQ community. I had to get all the letters in. How are you, Bill?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. But how are you?
I'm doing a bit of camping, darling, and I'm sitting on beaches. I'm going to post a photo of the beach I was at just so people can hate me. Just so people can absolutely hate me. Yeah.
It was like the beach from Castaway, was it? You had a little soccer ball friend.
And like Tom Hanks, I was talking to my balls. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So. Oh, dear. Now, actually, through the miracle of FaceTime, which, of course, is a terrific little thing that we use, using Wi-Fi and our Fruit Company products. Do we say brand names? Yeah, Fruit Company products. And and also, we're both recording parallel audio tracks. They may not know this, but I then send them to you. You line them up, and we've got a complete show. It's just incredible.
We do. We do have a complete show.
Yeah,
it is. We're old guys, so we're very impressed by all this newfangled technology.
Dropbox.
You kids are doing.
Yeah, Dropbox.
Yeah, Dropbox. Yes.
Yeah. So it's all just.
Can we plug any more corporate names right now?
Well, we didn't plug the really big one, but then again, we're not in Ireland, so they're not going to give us any money.
That's right.
I'm listening.
I think probably the number one thing this show is about is the Democratic debate, which, by the way, I thought was great. I'm going to give it. The Bill Cheer Squad is here. They have flown
in. Oh, come
on
in, kids. I haven't seen you for ages.
And here they are camping with me in a small tent. The Bill Show Cheer Squad, here we are for the Democratic debate. Thank you, boys and girls.
That's great, kids.
Do you know how terrible it is to have 18 boys and girls sleeping in a tent with you?
Well, I wouldn't, but many would.
So that's basically it. The cheer squad has gone with me.
Oh dear. Anyway, yes, it was refreshing to have the grown-ups debate the issues and not cast big lumps of shit at each other and talk about racism and how
building a wall around the world,
building a wall around America. It was so refreshing because there were five candidates.
Can I ask you? Can I ask you, Randy? I don't think there's any more time than I think you saw the stark relief between Republicans and Democrats. The Democrats are a party. The Republicans are a clown show.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
I was never more proud to be a Democrat. Whether you for Sanders or, Lincoln Chafee or Clinton, I don't care. They did a very good presentation of what they're going to do with the if they become president, which is what a debate should be.
Well, it is. I don't know why. They're going to have five more of these. I suppose as the field narrows and the issues become more prominent, that makes sense to have more debates. But God almighty, we're going to have how many more of the GOP ones do we have to sit through before Iowa?
432.
I was about 99 days away. Hopefully they'll start dropping out, honestly.
Well, it looks like Ron Paul is just on the cusp of dropping out. So, you know, we may see a winnowing of the thing. Listen, there are a few things that I wanted to kind of talk, just top of the show, talk a little bit about the debate. First of all, the general reaction that you had was, who do you think won?
Well, most people said Bernie won, but I thought Hillary did such a sterling job shaking off the wooden Mrs. Pinocchio kind of characterization that she often takes to the podium. I was really proud of both of them.
I was too, but I'll tell you something. What really kind of got my knickers in a twist, Randall, is the knickers and the twist happened basically because the media basically all said that Clinton won hands down. This is from Fortune magazine, Randall. I want you to have a take on this. Media said that Clinton won, and informal polls said Sanders. The first Democratic debate last night and this morning's headlines touted Hillary Clinton as the victor. CNN, which hosted the debate, wrote that Clinton proved without a doubt why she's currently the frontrunner. Forbes magazine bestowed letter grades on the candidates, placing the former Secretary of State at the top of her class with an A-. The National Journal claimed that she won simply because she was a strong debater and Bernie is not. And I don't know where they got that. However, multiple polls seem to show that most Americans did not agree with the Beltway pundits, asserting that Sanders was the clear winner. One Google consumer survey posted, conducted for IJ Review, a website co-founded by a past advisor to former Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney, shows Sanders is in the lead 43.7% with 43.7% of the vote, 15 points ahead of Clinton. The third runner-up was not sure with 17% remaining, and the remaining three candidates received a combined total of under 11%. Three additional polls, still active when this was written, also show that Sanders was perceived as the debate winner with over half the vote. Time magazine had him winning with 57%. The NewJersey.com poll, 71.71%. Fox poll, 80.72%. Almost six times Clinton's 14.09%. Now, Fortune also posed a question, Sands poll, asking readers to share their thoughts about the debate. The comments overwhelmingly lean in favor of a Sanders victory. Now, this shows an absolute chasm between what the Beltway media thinks and what America thinks. What's your take on that, Randy?
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't care what the Beltway or the water cooler survey say. I think I'm just happy to have two intelligent people who are starting to duke it out intelligently so early on. These are almost like presidential debates between Hillary and Bernie, and not just, let's shake out the runners. And these aren't like pre-primary debates. Those two, when I heard Bernie summing himself up, I thought that man sounded presidential. People said that speech, he sounded presidential.
Yet the Beltway press was fawning all over themselves to say that Hillary ran away with it. And this is such a common occurrence. The New York Times admitted that they had not covered the Bernie Sanders campaign as well as they should have. There is an absolute clear prejudice in the Beltway media for Hillary. And I think Hillary did a fantastic job. Don't tell me wrong. But they keep underestimating Sanders, and I really think that they've done so at their own risk so far. And the people are saying one thing, and Sanders, the people are saying one thing, and the Beltway media just seems to be completely tone deaf to what really is, according to all of the post polls, a Sanders surge after the debate. I mean, he raised close to $3.5 million just in the time between the debate ending. Average contribution was $38, Randall. Average contribution was $38.
Now, the only thing, I was above average, but we've both donated from Australia, even with a 60% exchange rate.
Yeah, ouch. That's right. So Bernie got $2.50.
But the point is that Hillary, she did go in for the kill on the one issue where he does fall down. He's a rural, he represents a big rural community with guns, and he has not come out against guns. That is probably the only chink in his armor. I don't think it's a chink, because he's certainly against a holus bolus ownership of guns, but he is not against gun ownership. He is gun control.
Regardless of the fact that I cued it the last show, I said this is Hillary's issue. I mean, she's been using it very effectively. But one should keep in mind that Bernie Sanders has a grade rating by the NRA of D-. So let's not paint Bernie as this gun nut.
They're afraid
of
him, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, when she came out and said, this whole country has got to take on the NRA, 90 of our citizens are being murdered by guns every day. When politicians connect the dots like that for people and don't make stupid racist comments or building a wall comments, the public sits up and notice, because that's the 10-second soundbite, isn't it? I must have seen that at least 10 times on Australian television when she came out and said that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she did a fine job. So what I was thinking for you right now is that I have a few clips that I really want to question. And the first one was when Hillary called herself a progressive. So this is the clip, and then I've got something I want to follow up on. So here's Hillary Clinton from the Democratic debate and her qualifications to be what we call a progressive.
Just for the record, are you a progressive or are you a moderate?
I'm a progressive, but I'm a progressive who likes to get things done. And I know how to find common ground. And I know how to stand my ground, and I have proved that in every position that I've had.
Yes, that's right, Randy. Hillary is a progressive that likes to get things done. Do you think that Hillary Clinton is a progressive?
No, I don't. And I think she's only using that word, like liberal, because it just causes anybody to the right to go batshit crazy. The progressives is a derogatory. It's a derogatory term now. Progressive.
Well, no, not in the Democratic Party, because Bernie's pulled everybody towards the left. So now she's posing as a progressive.
Yes, I know that. What I'm saying is the progressive as a label has such a bad rep. With the other side, they say terrible. Oh God, these terrible progressives, bloody progressive this and progressive that.
But you got to remember, she's not appealing to the other side now. She's appealing to Democrats. Listen, this is from Truth Out, and basically, I wanted to look back and see if Hillary has in fact earned her stripes as a progressive. Let's take up of the issues. Foreign policy. You know, as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton was reportedly one of the most hawkish members of President Obama's cabinet, pushing for the 2009 troop surge in Afghanistan and U.S. intervention in Libya, and has been a vocal proponent of the same drone war that has led to the death of 2,500 civilians. She also suggested the United States should have done more to intervene in Syria by, in her words, creating a credible fighting force, while the lack of said force led to the rise of ISIS. In addition, she vociferously defended Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his handling of the assault on Gaza. Not exactly progressive points of view, Randall. What do you think?
Well, no, but the thing she did when she was the SOS for Obama, I mean, she was his woman, and she was doing the right thing by getting out there and punching his ticket with the foreign leaders. Afterwards, though, when she started putting her case together to run for president, that's a different story. And you can see her changing her spots.
Oh, okay. Which Hillary do I get? Do I get the one that's in the Obama cabinet, or do I get her? Robert Kagan's one of the neocon luminaries, and they like Hillary, okay. She also voted in favor of the Iraq War more than a decade ago, and she's been gone crazy trying
and
to get back that.
And she admits that, and she admits it when she's asked about it, but she says, I can change my mind.
Yeah, but Bernie didn't. Bernie never has. Yeah, okay. Now,
Bill, could you say vociferously again, please?
Vociferously.
Oh, God, that was fantastic.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
That get you there. The other one is the economy. You know, I mean, old Hillary, she's been a very populist person. She's saying, why are we having a diminished middle class? And suddenly I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Didn't your husband repeal the Glass-Steagall Act? Clinton has long nurtured ties also to the financial sector. Now, we've done a show on this. Over her political career, and in the 2008, her number one donors were J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup, with the top contributors. In 2013, and that's not far away, she received $400,000 to speak at two Goldman Sachs events and delivered what was called by the bankers a reassuring message, or what we'd like to call a hand job. Hillary has a long history of being willing to serve the interests of large corporations. Now, we dug this up. In 1976, while serving as legal counsel for the Rose Law Firm, she represented several Arkansas utility companies that sued the state after a ballot initiative sponsored by conservative boogeyman Acorn. Okay, Acorn being the group that Hannity went crazy about. Passed that decreased utility rates on Little Rock residents, increased them on business. In defending the utility conglomerates, she wasn't going at defending the residents. She defended the conglomerates, and she argued the initiative amounted to an unconstitutional seizure of property. So
did
when
she come
it comes,
up against, she, did she come she, up against Aaron Brockovich?
She well, no. She argued for the companies, and the judge ruled for the company's favor. In the environment, and this is something we've also talked about on the show. As Grist magazine reported, during her tenure as Secretary of State, Clinton took an active role in promoting hydrofracking worldwide through the Global Shale Gas Initiative. Clinton's State Department, in some cases, she personally lobbied on behalf of companies like Chevron in their intent to expand the practice, particularly in countries like Bulgaria and Romania, where there was widespread public skepticism to it. This lobbying was met with mixed success, as Chevron eventually pulled out in Bulgaria due to a moratorium, while Romania's moratorium was repealed following U.S. lobbying. Since stepping down as Secretary of State, Clinton has continued to express support for the practice, which she outlined in September 2014 speech at the National Clean Energy Summit, kind of, and only recently decided to climb on board with the XL pipeline not going ahead.
Did you know, by the way, just as an aside, you and I live in the only state in Australia which has actually banned hydrofracking. It's not the largest state in Australia, but it's the second most populous state in Australia, and we have banned hydrofracking.
And there's a reason we do that. Because once that shit hits the groundwater, you are in deep crap. And, of course, Australia is a very agricultural country. And
unfortunately, the big aquifer is in Queensland and New South Wales up north. And it is thousands and thousands of square miles.
You mean the
aquifers,
They're
thousands and thousands of square miles of water under there.
And once you poison it, you're fucked. This is
that,
for civil
liberties.
For civil liberties, let me just say this: the she has been in support of the NSA spying and the rampant security secrecy and the prosecution of whistleblowers, including our friend Mr. Snowden. By the way, if you're listening, hey, how you going?
Hey, Ed. Yeah, good on you, Ed.
Das How's the borscht?
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about your landlord, but, you know. In the Senate, she voted for the Patriot Act not just once, twice. She voted to reauthorize the Patriot Act. In an appearance in 2014 at the University of Connecticut, she defended the NSA surveillance program that Edward Snowden revealed and accused him of supporting terrorism. Does that sound like a progressive to you?
No, no, it doesn't. It sounds like a hawk.
It does. Now, in the culture,
I haven't heard that word in a long time. A hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, in the culture wars, Clinton has a long history of pandering to hot button social and cultural war issues. As a senator, she frequently co-sponsored legislation that would make anyone on the progressive side of politics cringe. In 2005, she joined a bipartisan group of senators in signing the Workplace Religious Freedom Act, which, according to the ACLU, would effectively have legalized discrimination. Later the same year, she introduced a bill that would have made flag burning a felony.
Yeah, but I thought it already was a felony.
No, no. No, it shouldn't be a felony. But it's freedom of speech.
Okay.
Here's
another one. It is 10 years ago, of course, but Workplace Religious Freedom Act was all about not prosecuting people who, for religious reasons, wanted to limit
but
the rights of some of their employees.
The end result of it, Randall, the Workplace Religious Freedom Act allowed companies to exercise their religious freedom in their hiring practices. And that is legalized discrimination. And the ACLU informed her of this, and she decided that she wasn't going to do anything about it. Now, the next clip I have from the debate is when Anderson Cooper sat there and said, "Is anybody not in favor of capitalism? And if you're not in favor of capitalism, can we kill you?" man, it just makes me crazy because their assumption is that capitalism doesn't exist in socialist countries. But here's that that little bit of McCarthy tactic by Anderson Cooper in the last debate. So here it is, Randall.
You don't consider yourself a capitalist, though.
Do I consider myself part of the casino capitalist process by which so few have so much and so many have so little, by which Wall Street, greed and recklessness wreck this economy? No, I don't. I believe in a society where all people do well, not just a handful of billionaires.
Just let me just be clear. Is there anybody else on the stage who's not a capitalist?
When I think about capitalism, I think about all the small businesses that were started because we have the opportunity and the freedom in our country for people to do that and to make a good living for themselves and their families.
Well, I feel the burn. I certainly feel the burn. I think he got that right. I think he got that absolutely right. He's not part of the he's not part of the casino. And I think Hillary was a cop out. Oh, we owe it all to the small businesses and the ma's and pa's
Well, never mind the fact that small businesses have been taking it up the ass for very long time. And when they talk about capitalism, they talk about it as if socialist countries don't have capitalism. I would like to, first of all, I'd like to get our theme music in here, which, of course, is the Internationale, the theme of the rampant running dog Soviet threat.
Here it is. Can I wave the flag? Can I wave
yes,
the
flag? Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can be John Reed here.
I want to be the other one.
Okay, you can be Diane Keaton.
I want to be Diane Keaton, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to say...
Yes.
Okay, I would rather have a democratic socialist as president than anybody else. Now...
Well,
I'm
that's
now
it.
Talking,
yeah.
I'm now talking like Bernie Sanders, or as Professor Julius Sumner Miller would say, why is it so? Do Americans really understand socialism? It is not communism.
No,
it
they
is
don't.
A bookend. It is a bookend to capitalism. Yeah. You cannot have one without the other. They don't understand.
This is the problem. This is the problem, Randy.
Public ownership of infrastructure does not make a profit, supports capitalism. Communism is where everyone and everything is owned and managed by the state. So they have got it so totally ass about, I can't believe it. Bernie Sanders
This is as a result of long-term conditioning. And it goes right back to the red baiting scares. Since we have the international music playing in the background, I would like to introduce you to some of the most terrible, terrible, awful republics that now have democratic socialism and still have capitalism, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, first off the rank...
You can't have one without the other.
The terrible, terrible country of Denmark. Yes, Denmark. It's amazing jackbooted hordes. Denmark has a wide range of welfare benefits that offer to their citizens. As a result, they have the very high taxes, but equality is distributed to the most important value in Denmark. Small businesses thrive in Denmark, with over 70% of companies having 50 employees or less. That would be kind of like the small businesses that Hillary is talking about.
They have a fat tax.
Yeah, absolutely. And the
they tax things with fat.
Absolutely. And the next jackbooted horde that we're talking about that doesn't believe in capitalism is, of course, Finland. They have the best education system in the world, no tuition fees, and they give free meals to their students. The literacy rate in Finland, guess what the literacy rate in Finland is?
Ooh, 100%?
You got it. 100% literacy rate.
Finland has one of the...
Thank you. It has one of the highest standards of living in the world. Like Denmark and other European countries, equality is considered one of the most important values in society, whereas in the Netherlands, government control over the economy remains at a minimum, but a socialist welfare system remains. The lifestyle in the Netherlands is very egalitarian and organized, where even bosses do not discipline their treat their subordinates rudely. Now, the one I really love of this terrible socialist horde is, of course, the jackbooted hordes of Canada.
Canada, yeah.
They obviously don't believe in capitalism, the bastards. The Netherlands, Canada also has a mostly free market economy, as we do in Australia, but has a very extensive welfare system that includes free health and medical care. Canadians remain more open-minded and liberal than Americans, and Canada is ranked as one of the best top five countries in to live by the United Nations and the Human Development Index. Of course, we don't want to forget the jackbooted Sweden. Sweden has a large welfare system and, due to a high national debt, requires much government intervention in the economy. In Norway, the government controls certain key aspects of the national economy. And in New Zealand, of course, it's not a socialist country, but welfare system in this country is very wide-ranging, offering support for housing, unemployment, health, childcare, and education as well. They have characteristics of a socialist country, but they remain in the free market. And, of course, that's what Bernie Sanders... It's not an either-or. Anderson Cooper's talking shit.
Yeah, of course. He's equating socialism with communism. It's chalk and cheese.
And it's a dog whistle. It is just a dog whistle, and it's completely wrong. There has been no complete implementation of massive socialism that hasn't turned into Soviet Union, Cuba, and North Korea. But these are the extreme examples. What Bernie Sanders represents is what you see in Canada, is what you see in Denmark, and what you see...
And what you see in Australia. To
sit there and impugn that Bernie doesn't believe in capitalism is wrong. He doesn't believe in the unbridled capitalism that has run America into the ground.
And he doesn't believe in capitalism without the bookend of socialism to keep it in check.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, the last clip that I have from the debate is on gun control. And we talked about this in the last thing, where basically...
The last several dozen shows, yeah.
Yeah, several dozen shows. But in the last one, we said, look, this is the issue that Hillary really has on Bernie. Now, gun rights groups have always considered Clinton as their foe. This is the clip from the debate in which she talks about gun violence. I thought it was one of the best things she said during the debate. What do you think?
It was a great soundbite. It was terrific.
It was great. Here it is. This is from...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I saw it several times on Australian TV news, and everybody thought, this lady's got something. Because we only ever see the 10-second soundbites in any campaign. Yeah.
And yeah, you got to go to YouTube, guys. Now. Yeah, absolutely. So here's Hillary at the debate talking about guns.
For a decade, you said that holding gun manufacturers legally responsible for mass shootings is a bad idea. Now you say you're reconsidering that. Which is it? Shield the gun companies from lawsuits or not?
This was a large and complicated bill.
Secretary Clinton, is Bernie Sanders tough enough on guns?
No. Not at all. I think that we have to look at the fact that we lose 90 people a day from gun violence. This has gone on too long, and it's time the entire country stood up against the NRA. The majority of our country...
Yeah, I thought that was... if Hillary really scored on that one, and I think that she's right. I think that Bernie Sanders had no business really... voting against the Brady bill, and she's going to turn that into an issue. She's going to hit Bernie over the head with it, I think.
Well, yeah, but I don't think it's going to... I think it's just going to slide right off, because, honestly, I think, you know, people understand he's from basically a rural community. He's not a gun nut. He's probably not a gun owner himself, but he does have constituents.
Mm-hmm. And he said that when O'Malley interrupted him. He said, listen, but I think that the Brady bill was a no-brainer, and I think it's a mistake that he will live to regret.
That was an unfortunate thing to say, actually.
It was. And it's the only, I think, Achilles, sorry. it was an unfortunate thing that Bernie did as well. Now, unfortunately, I've been looking around, and I found this. This is a really weird thing about with Hillary. You're just not sure, and because she'll take a position, but you're not sure whether it's the position she always takes. This is a robocall.
Oh yes,
that her cam. Now this is from Talking Points memo. This is a robocall that was recorded that went out in Pennsylvania in the 2008 election, in which she criticizes. Or the campaign impugns that Obama is too tough on guns. So have a listen to this. This surprised me. Here it is from TPM.
Hello, this is Hillary Clinton for President calling. Barack Obama is not telling the truth about his past position on the Second Amendment. As an Illinois state senator, he supported a ban on all handguns, and he even personally filled out a questionnaire saying he supported the ban. Now, instead of telling you the truth about that,
he never saw the questionnaire, even though his handwriting was on it. And Obama voted to give millions of dollars to anti-gun organizations that are trying to take away our gun rights. This is just another example of Barack Obama saying one thing and doing another. And yet another issue John McCain will use against Obama to win in November.
This call is paid for by Hillary Clinton for President, 216-250-329, 520 North Delaware Avenue, Suite 202, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19123.
Yeah, Randall, that Barack Obama, he's just a... You know, an anti-gun nut. And he's going to take, not like Hillary.
Yeah. His handwriting was all over it. And he said, oh, gosh darn. He said, he's going to take away our gun rights. Our gun
so
rights.
So which Hillary are we getting?
Yeah.
Which Hillary? Are we getting the Hillary?
Yeah. Who really wants to protect those 90 Americans a day? Or the one that's...
Or are we getting the Hillary that's appealing to the gun lobby in this phone call? So this is something that just absolutely makes me crazy about her.
Well,
and that's one of the reasons...
It was 7 years ago. It was 7 years ago, so...
Would you like to know where Bernie was 7 years ago? Because I guarantee it was the same place.
Yeah, he was in the Senate, yeah.
No, not just in the Senate. His policies, if you look at his policies, as we said before, they're consistent. Hillary's changes occasionally with political, depending on the political landscape.
Whichever way the wind blows.
She's consistent on some things, but I this is why I kind of worry about her. You know, I mean, if you're looking for a progressive, there are many reasons why Hillary isn't a progressive. And if you're looking for, you know, like consistency, there are many times in which the Clinton administration and Hillary Clinton have not been consistent when it comes to liberal principles.
Well, maybe. Listen, just maybe. Hillary Clinton is the Hillary Clinton you want when you're not having Hillary Clinton.
But she'll which be, Hillary Clinton be, do I have?
Yeah, she'll be whoever you want her to be. She's that.
Yeah,
that,
but I don't want her to.
That fantasy woman, you know, the fantasy woman in the bordello. She'll be whoever you want her to be.
I just don't want her to rip off a mask halfway through her presidency and go, "It's me, Tricky Dick." You know, I'm back. Goddamn it! Do you like the hair? Well, you know, I mean.
Oh, it's me. I'm down doing Hitler's laundry. But what was the thing that they said? You are not voting for Bill Clinton, too. Didn't she say that last week? I thought that was interesting. Somebody's obviously accused.
Yeah.
Somebody's accused her of being Bill Clinton, too. And she says, not voting for Bill Clinton, too.
And let's just say one thing, that if she is Bill Clinton, too, that wasn't all that bad. I mean, I've criticized the Clintons, but I'll tell you something. Next to the clown show that we had with Bush, you know, it's, you know, I mean, it's the Republicans, we're quibbling here. I think that overwhelmingly you and I were very happy with the debate. But I want to wind up the debate review on Bernie Sanders.
Okay, and before we go, do you remember how she got bitched, or how Bill got bitch slapped when he said, "My wife is one of the most intelligent people I know, and you're getting two presidents for the price of one." Do you remember that?
He did say that.
He did. Yeah, but he was right. You know, she instigated an awful lot of the programs that he got credit for, including, unfortunately, the one that didn't get up, which was which would have been called Clinton Care.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the reasons I respect Hillary a lot. I love the fact that she did that. But listen, I want to end this little spot because I'm at 36 minutes right now. I've gone
so
crazy.
Am I.
Yeah, no. So this is Bernie Sanders, and I think that what the Beltway media and everybody is not considering is the fact that not only did he win the polls after the debate, he speaks with a clarity that is not political. And this was never more evident than in his closing statement. I'm just going to give you this closing statement here. This is Bernie Sanders with his closing statement to the debate the other night.
Why he should be president.
Okay, here it is.
I think most Americans understand that our country today faces a series of unprecedented crises. The middle class of this country for the last 40 years has been disappearing. Millions of Americans are working longer hours for lower wages, and yet almost all of the new income and wealth being created is going to the top 1%. As a result of this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision, our campaign finance system is corrupt and is undermining American democracy. Millionaires and billionaires are pouring unbelievable sums of money into the political process in order to fund super PACs and to elect candidates who represent their interests, not the interests of working people. Today, the scientific community is virtually unanimous. Climate change is real. It is caused by human activity, and we have a moral responsibility to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy and leave this planet a habitable planet for our children and our grandchildren. Today in America, we have more people in jail than any other country on earth. African-American youth unemployment is 51%. Hispanic youth unemployment is 36%. It seems to me that instead of building more jails and providing more incarceration, maybe, just maybe, we should be putting money into education and jobs for our kids. What this campaign is about is whether we can mobilize our people, to take back our government from a handful of billionaires and create the vibrant democracy we know we can and should have. Thank you.
Yeah, that's Bernie, and I'll tell you something. The fact is that he nailed those two issues. We are at such a point in democracy in America right now where it's definitely under threat. You have Citizens United, you have global warming, you have all these things, and you cannot afford to make the half measures that a centrist or center-rightist like Hillary Clinton will take. And that's why, you know, we lean towards Sanders. Now, that doesn't mean we don't like Hillary and a lot of the things she does, but right now, if we don't deal with climate change and Citizens United, you're not going to have a democracy and you're not going to have a planet. What's your take on it, Randy?
Exactly. He's got to rock the boat. He has got to win, and he's got to rock the boat. I'm also hoping, fingers crossed, nuts crossed, toes crossed, that they also win the House. The House and Senate.
That would be great.
Yeah, because he's got to be empowered. He's got to be empowered. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, listen.
What on earth are you doing just there? Are you popping pills?
I'm having one of the. I told you. Remember the last time, right? I was sitting there.
The Nicorette pills. Yeah.
I'm on the mints. I told you, man. I had to stop because, man, I'll tell you, those cigarette corporations make them really good.
That got you.
Yeah. You never had that. You never had that addiction, did you?
I certainly did for maybe 20 years when I was a teenager till when I was a breeder.
Okay.
Till when I was a breeder, yeah.
Oh, how romantic, Randy. You sweet talking fool. Well, listen, we're going to be back in a minute. We're going to have two comedy bits. We're going to be back in a moment with Randy's
Randy's
rant is coming up, so you stay tuned, kids.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
Fox and Friends.
And friends, I'm Steve Doocy, and with me as usual, Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Brett Gelman.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Well, Congress is having a few problems.
What else is new?
That's so true. Now that Representative Kevin McCarthy has withdrawn from the race for House Speaker, the position's wide open.
Well, I don't know why they don't let them all speak.
Now, here's something interesting, actually. You know that the speaker doesn't actually have to be a member of Congress?
Oh.
It can be anybody. Folks have thrown out names like Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich.
Well, I don't know about him. That's the man who stole Christmas.
You know, I'd love to see Tim Tebow.
Oh, solid, solid. What about Buzz Aldrin?
Wow, that's a real hero.
Yeah, he is great in all three Toy Story movies. May I make a suggestion quickly?
Sure, Brian.
May I humbly nominate the great President Ronald Reagan for Speaker of the House? I met Mr. Reagan recently in Orlando, Florida, at his home in the magnificent Hall of Presidents. And even though he had many visitors, he took the time to talk to me. Brian Kilmeade.
Brian.
That's crazy.
I think you were at Disney World.
Woo! Good thing you warned me. That place is full of pirates.
Person who has thrown his name out there for speaker is the congressman from Utah, Mr. Jason Chaffetz. He's a little young, but he feels he's ready, and Mr. Chaffetz joins us now. Hello there!
Hey, Steve! Great to be on TV!
Now, Mr. Chaffetz, you're a rising star after your bold showing at the Planned Parenthood hearings.
Oh, thanks! You see those? I talk more than anybody.
Yeah, you sure did. And did you know that as Speaker, you'd be third in line for the presidency?
For real?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow, that's amazing. But you know what? I'm ready. I'm able. I'm going to win this thing.
Yeah, we've heard that Paul Ryan might run.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to lose this thing. That guy is a lot more qualified than me. He can bench like 150. Sorry for wasting your time.
Hey, not a problem. Well, all of this stems from the Republican effort to defund Planned Parenthood.
Those videos are shocking. Mm-hmm. Did you know that they're selling baby parts on Snapchat?
It's outrageous. Oh. Well, I saw the video and it is stomach churning. I mean, the way that rat dragged that baby down the stairs. Just disgusting. No, no, Brian, you're talking about Pizza Rat again. Well, I just love them. I wish I had me some floor pizza. We know you say it all the time. Joining us now is a woman who's been shamefully defunding Planned Parenthood, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Hi, Steve, Elizabeth, Brian. It's a pleasure to not be there in person.
Debbie, are you really defending an organization that sells babies the way that KFC sells chicken?
Elizabeth, you know that's not true. Let me ask you, Elizabeth, do you want to get into a legal battle with a woman named Debbie Wasserman Schultz? My name sounds like a law firm.
Okay, Debbie, there is no need to...
You really want to take on Planned Parenthood, Elizabeth? I will put all three of your heads in a mammogram machine and squish them like pancakes and serve them at our house.
Oh, Debbie, you're being hysterical.
I will smack you upside the head with a transvaginal wand. Wasserman Schultz does not play around. Have you considered what might happen when you mess with millions of women? You know, when a bachelorette party walks into a bar and just blows the place up, it's going to be like that. But instead of a bar, it's America. We're organized, we're pissed, and we're all looking for a pap smear. What's the matter? Yay!
Yay! Please, please.
I'm sorry, I always agree with whoever's the loudest. You know what? Why don't we take a break? But before we go, we've got a quick list of corrections from our first hour. We'll see you after this quick break. And live from New York, it's Saturday!
And finally, new rule, the only time you should take a gun into a Sonic restaurant is when you're robbing it. Yes, lately, firearms enthusiasts have been taking their guns out to public places for play dates with other gun owners and their guns. And in the process, frightening lots of properly adjusted people. And places like Sonic and Chili's and Chipotle and Jack in the Box, proving once again that America's gun laws are worthless and sad, and that its dining options aren't much better. Now, the other thing that the open carry movement is proving is something I've believed for a long time, that no matter how crazy gun culture gets in America, never think it can't get crazier. I mean, what possible reason could a person have for bringing a semi-automatic weapon into Home Depot? You're there to buy a toilet seat. I doubt you will meet armed resistance. You know, guns are legal. Okay, we get it. It doesn't mean you have to scare the bejesus out of everybody. Chill out, Josie Wales. This isn't the Wild West anymore. Clint Eastwood is directing Jersey Boys now. I mean, look at this guy at Chipotle. Now, you might not be able to see him because he's wearing a camouflage hat. But trust me, there is a man standing there. And I'm sure he would say that he's just exercising his rights, and by the looks of him, that's the only thing he's exercising. But what does he or any of these patriots imagine is going through the minds of sane people when they see this? Oh my, it looks like Vladimir Putin has annexed Chipotle. That's alarming. When eight nitwits walked into Chili's last month, armed to the teeth, or at least to where their teeth would be if they had any, A concerned mother asked, "What are you doing here?" To which one of them said, "Representing our Second Amendment rights. We lose them if we don't use them." Well, no, Cletus, actually. You don't. They're constitutional rights. You can't lose them. Perhaps you're thinking of frequent flyer miles. And, you know, that's the thing about gun culture. There's not a lot of culture. It's mostly about the guns. And the problem isn't just that they're so legal in America. It's that they're so beloved. Guns aren't just a tool of last resort. They're awesome. That's why people stroke them and name them and take pictures with them. You guys aren't just firearm enthusiasts, you're ammosexuals. And before you try and deny that you have some sort of unnatural romantic relationship with your gun, consider this, you're taking it out to dinner. Because it completes you. Get a room. You know, I love Tiffany lamps, but if I couldn't bear to leave the house without carrying one, they would lock me up. It's no secret I favor marijuana rights, but I don't go to the Olive Garden and blow bong hits into people's faces. Anymore. Here's a crazy idea. Try going out without your gun. I know there may be some separation anxiety, but just think how exciting it'll be when you get home and there she is. Oiled up and just wearing a holster. Now, the silver lining in all this is that these heavily armed flash mobs that have been alarming people in restaurants lately have managed to do what thousands of progressive legislators could not. They got guns banned. Yeah, one by one, all these restaurants said, "No, sorry, you can no longer take a gun into Chipotle or Chili's or Applebee's or Wendy's or Jack in the Box. From now on, if you want to die in one of these places, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way by eating their food."
Feet inside the vehicle at all times because it's time for Randy's Rant.
Randy's Rant. Randy. I'm really ranting. Well, I'm not today. I'm not ranting today. I'm talking to the friends, the Tejadists of the Tea Party, Yalcada, and I'm talking about how the NRA rewrote the Second Amendment. They hijacked the Second Amendment. The fake history of the Second Amendment. Do you know that the whole irrational belief that any American can own any firearm is a totally late 20th, early 21st century thing? It's only been in the last 25 years that any of this has really happened. In 1876, under probably, I guess it's Ulysses S. Grant, the Supreme Court of the United States actually ruled that the right to bear arms is not granted by the Constitution. Neither is it in any manner dependent upon the instrument for its existence, and limited the applicability of the Second Amendment to the federal government only. Now, move forward to 1939. The dawn of the Second World War, the Supreme Court again ruled that the federal government and the states could limit any weapon type not having a reasonable relationship to the preservation or efficiency of a well-regulated militia. Now, the NRA under Charlton Heston started under Moses, under Planet of the Apes. You dirty ape, get your hands off her, you bitch. Anyway, Anyway.
You blew it up.
Yeah, you blew it up. God damn you. So anyway, the NRA in the late 60s and 70s started growing balls. I mean, really big balls, like huge balls, brass ones, cannonballs. And they began to pressure people. They became a lobby group. Only 2% of Americans may be members or supporters of the NRA. But they probably have so much sway over Congress and everybody else that it just ain't funny. Now, in 1990, Chief Justice Warren Burger, no relation, talked about the fraud on the American people. This is 1990, probably just before his passing. That's how the fraud on the American public was how he described the idea that the Second Amendment gives unfettered individual rights to a gun. He spoke these words to PBS in 1990. The Rock Ribbon appointee of Richard Nixon was expressing the longtime consensus of historians and judges across the political spectrum. Now, it really comes down to 2008, okay?
Right.
The Supreme Court, under the late days of George Bush, handed down a landmark decision that held that the amendment protects an individual right to possess and carry firearms. Now,
and you, by the way, Randy, can I just put something in?
Yeah.
You know who wrote that? You know who wrote that decision?
2008.
Scuzzbag Scalia.
Oh, the one who
Scalia wrote it.
Yeah, the one who
Scalia wrote the decision. Yeah.
The one who gave George Bush the election from 560 hanging chads. Yeah. So,
oh, well, yeah. You know, you're going to ticky-tack, Randall.
Now, the key reason that America can't make up its mind is it's got this political paralysis because it can't protect its citizens, 90 of them a day, from 2-year-olds to 100-year-olds, whatever. The next deranged gunman and the next massacre, it can't protect them. The American right and some of the left are just sold on this whole false history of the Second Amendment. Gun rights advocates insist that the carnage cannot be stopped because it is what the constitutional framers had in mind. Now, let me play a little clip from Sink over on Young Turks, who I think summed it up really, really well. Take it away.
This is from the Young... We're the old Turks. They're the Young Turks. This is Mr. Junger over at the Young Turks and talking about the Second Amendment. Did a really good job of it. And as part of Randy's rant, you're going to hear it. Here it is from the Young Turks.
So I was tipped off to this story initially by Kyle Kalinske, who does a great show on our network, Secular Talk. You should check it out. My old friend Tom Hartman, we used to do radio together back in the day, wrote a really interesting article about the origins of the Second Amendment. Now, let's acknowledge in the beginning that, of course, history is always nuanced, and there are many different components that go into any one thing, including the Second Amendment and how it came to be. So people do make legitimate points about how there was the English Bill of Rights, and they talked about the need for arms. They didn't want the king to have all the arms. Well, that would create a political problem for them, especially among the different religions that quite often went to war in England. Now, we didn't have similar religious problems, but we did have issues between the North and the South and other ones here in the United States. And it talks, of course, the Second Amendment does, about a well-regulated militia. And there were militias in the North as well as the South. But the militias in the South also had a different name. They were called slave patrols. Interesting. So we're going to get to that in a second. First, let me read you what the Second Amendment says. It says, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, today, modern conservatives interpret that as everybody gets to have any weapon they like, pretty much. And the Supreme Court has gone along with that interpretation. Now, the reality is, the first part of the amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary. So that is a very important qualifier, because back then they had militias, and they didn't want the United States government to take over all of the militias that they had. The point was militias, not, hey, Bob down the street gets to have any weapon he likes. They've forgotten that. They get very angry when you point that out. They claim to be strict constructionists. When you actually read the amendment back to them, their heads explode. Okay, so militia is the first part. The second part, they say there is being necessary to the security of a free state. Now, that's very interesting, because as Hartman points out, it originally did not say that. It had the word country instead of state. Let me show you the first draft of the Second Amendment by James Madison. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A well-armed and well-regulated militia being the best security of a free country, but no person religiously scrupulous of bearing arms shall be compelled to render military service in person. So that was the entirety of the first draft of the Second Amendment. They changed the word country to state after significant debate on the issue, because they said, no, the point is for the states to be able to protect themselves. Not the people in the states, not individuals, for the states to protect themselves against the United States of America. Whoa, okay, now that's a totally different interpretation than what we have today. We say, oh, no, it doesn't mean states, it doesn't mean militia, it just means, well, I get to have a gun, I get to have a gun, we all get to have guns. No, it doesn't say that. It says in order for a state to protect itself, it must have a well-regulated militia who must be armed, because if the militia isn't armed, well, then it can't protect itself.
That is really fascinating, Randy, especially when you talk about militias in the South being, you know, these guys who chase slaves, you know, and
well,
basically...
When you think nearly half the population were probably slaves, you know, yeah. And you've always got to keep them in control. And I mean, even before the 1861 and the Confederacy, there were different laws for the South and the North. You know, even the writing of the Declaration of Independence was only passed because it didn't take away the right to keep slaves and things like that. So that was all still going on.
When
the Constitution was written,
this militia thing could have been at the time. Of course, Jefferson had a very hard time getting the Declaration of Independence signed because the Southern slave states were holding out. They wanted the institution of slavery.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
So it's logical to assume that the actual Second Amendment was put in there for one of the reasons to ensure that the slave states could maintain their peculiar institution, you know,
well,
of slavery.
It was, but like the people that wrote the Constitution in 87, and then they made the amendments in 89 when they actually got together to ratify it, they never intended the Second Amendment to be construed as the right of individuals to take up arms against the Republic. The intent was just the opposite. The goal of the Second Amendment was to promote state militias for the maintenance of order at the time of political uprisings. So it's more like the National Guard in each state. Potential slave revolts and simmering hostilities with both European powers and Native Americans on the frontier.
Right.
The purpose of to achieve security against disruptions of the country's republican form of government. So the Second Amendment read as this, and we've all heard it many times. The intent is for a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people...
Read it twice, we got it.
Yeah, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, that's absolutely right. The security, the militia, and everything. Now, unfortunately, we're up against people, Republicans and right-wingers, even like Ben Carson, the addled brain surgeon, who said, I never saw a body full of bullet holes that was more devastating than taking the right to keep arms from ourselves away.
Go ahead.
That's terrible. Now, you've also got... A hundred years before the U.S. Constitution, they finally got all of the British common law together. Now, the Constitution of the United States is actually based a lot, as is the Australian one, on British common law. We both had the same bastard mother. Now, that was in the that was 100 years before, and they had a right to bear arms. You know, for the same reason, in case you had to get your act together really quickly to repel borders or whatever it is.
That's so, right. Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. I mean, the NRA has rewritten and hijacked the whole debate. They are a terrorist organization, as far as I'm concerned, and they manipulate the politicians as a lobby group like no other, like no other. Abortion has nothing. Abortion has nothing on 90 Americans a day dying in a hail of bullets, be they 2 years old or 200 years old, black or white.
Absolutely. And listen, you have another clip here about muskets. Could you explain this clip to them?
All right. Everybody says, look, and there's even a wonderful TV commercial in America about a guy going into a company that he has a bitch with, and he fires off a musket. And then he spends 30 seconds reloading it. And everybody's left the building. But it just shows. I'll put that up on the website. It's very funny. He goes into a real estate office or whatever it is. But the point is that they're saying, well, if you wanted to have that, then we should say that if you want to bear arms, it has to be a musket. Well, there were some pretty hairy arms around in the American Revolution, including shrapnel and there were multi-fire guns, etc. So anyway, this clip is from a guy named Steven Crowder. Now, Steven Crowder runs a thing called Louder with Crowder. He's just an incredibly conservative commentator, and I think he's an asshole.
You notice when Stephen talks during this clip, he doesn't mention the fact that being a well-regulated militia is necessary. He doesn't say that. And he also tries to compare the guns that they had at the time of the Revolutionary War with AK-47s.
To an AR-15, yeah.
This guy is absolutely amazing. This is a comedy bit that you found that's far right.
It's not comedy. He's dead serious.
He's dead serious, but he kind of praises himself as being kind of wacky in a rather fascist way.
He's giving away an AR-15, which on his website. Oh, so. God almighty.
Oh, God. You know, every now and then I kind of worry about, you know, what we say on the website. Then I realize that I go out on YouTube and I see that most people are crazier than we would ever think of being. So what's this guy's name?
Steven Crowder, and his website or his YouTube channel is called Louder with Crowder.
Louder with Crowder. Oh, God, Steven. Yeah. Here you go. This is Louder with Crowder on Randy's Rant. Here it is.
Is the Second Amendment just for muskets? You might be asking yourself if you're an idiot. So we've heard the argument countless times from gun control advocates.
I think the Second Amendment is in the Constitution so that we can have muskets when the British people come over in 1800.
We used to have those guns when we were, you know, back in the day when you needed to go hunt and everything like that. You don't need those guns nowadays.
Again, the argument here is that the Second Amendment exists so Americans can overthrow the government. That is a view. It is a radical view.
Well, this is what they had in mind when they wrote the Second Amendment, a single-shot firearm that takes a bit of work to reload.
The problem is that they're dead wrong.
It's wrong. It's wrong!
We'll get to all of the pre-Constitution assault weapons that already existed in a second, but firstly, to accept this premise, you would have to believe that the Founding Fathers were so stupid they had never, ever, ever witnessed nor anticipated any kind of technological advancement in weaponry whatsoever.
The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
What if guns get, like, way bigger than today?
Well, I hadn't thought about that.
Believe it or not, weapons have evolved since the beginning of mankind. Rocks became sharper rocks. Sharper rocks became clubs. Clubs became swords. Swords became guns, etc., etc. Also, quick irony alert, many of the filthy hipsters trying to take away your Second Amendment rights are doing so by exercising their First Amendment right written long before their iPhones.
Send.
But finally, the good stuff, the gun. Turns out by the time the Second Amendment was written, many assault weapons already existed. Take the Belton flintlocks, for instance, which was created during the Revolutionary War and can fire 20 or so rounds in the pull of one trigger in about 5 seconds. Or the Girondoni air rifle, where a 22 high-capacity round magazine could be fired in about 30 seconds. Again, this was created during the Revolutionary War and was actually later used by Thomas Jefferson to famously outfit the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Yes, Randy, the weapons of mass destruction for 1776.
Do you think they found any?
I've got an idea, Randy. The next Die Hard movie, we must equip Bruce Willis with only weapons found in 1776. let him try to blow up an aircraft carrier or a plane with that. You know?
How we use Vietnam as a testing ground for most of our new weapons.
Yeah.
The British used the American Revolution to test all their new weapons, like shrapnel and things like that. Shrapnel was actually an officer in the British artillery who invented this, and they took it to America and tried it out.
What a great guy, huh?
And wiped out all kinds of... Yeah, terrific.
Yeah.
And
Daddy,
so,
what did you do?
And here's another one.
What did you do during the war? I invented shrapnel. Ah, good one. Off you go to play, son.
Here's another one about how the First Amendment is being trumped by the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
That in Florida, the Supreme Court has upheld the law that restricts doctors from talking about gun safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like first we had this, the CDC can't investigate a disease that kills 90 Americans a day.
Doctors
can't even talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Randy, I'm gonna throw to our next segment, Randall, and of course it's gonna be our tinfoil hats. But we don't have tinfoil hats. Randall has two heroes for us, so we'll be right back after a little comedy, right here on episode 131 of The Bill Show.
And now, Last Week Tonight asks, "How is this still a thing?" This week, Columbus Day. How is this still a thing? America has a lot of solemn holiday traditions, from saluting the quiet dignity of the Irish, to proudly celebrating our birth as a nation, to just spending quality time with family at Thanksgiving. But next week brings perhaps the strangest of American holidays, Columbus Day, which brings with it the beloved annual traditions of cheesy local commercials.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue to celebrate Mattress Depot.
And Americans turning up to an unexpectedly closed post office and going, "Oh yeah, it's Columbus Day. Shit." This proud holiday commemorates the landing of Christopher Columbus in the Bahamas in 1492, beginning a long tradition of obnoxious white people visiting Caribbean islands and acting like they own the place. In school, American children learn about Christopher Columbus's life.
"I will discover a shortcut to India. We'll call this part of India San Salvador."
Of course, what they tend not to learn are the parts of Columbus's life where he kidnapped Native Americans and sold them into slavery, had his men slice them to pieces, and through disease and warfare killed roughly half the population of Haiti. But in fairness, none of that rhymes with "in 1492. Nevertheless, Columbus became famous for his discoveries, specifically the discovery that you can discover a continent with millions of people already living on it that had also been visited by Vikings around 500 years earlier. In fact, many U.S. states and cities no longer recognize Columbus Day, raising the question, why do the rest of us still do it? Sure, it's a chance for Italians to celebrate their heritage, but there are so many other heroes they could celebrate. Why not Frank Sinatra Day? He killed no Native Americans that we know of. Or Mario Batali. If he's killed anyone, it's through cheese. Or Al Pacino Day, a day that will probably start well and end as an overblown parody of itself.
She got a great ass!
So America's least favorite holiday commemorates a murderous egomaniac whose most famous discovery was a case of getting lost and refusing to ask directions. All of which is enough to make you wonder, Columbus Day, How is this still a thing?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, usually it's the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads, but today it's not. Today it is Heroes, and let's get the cheer squad in here. We got, yeah, let's go.
Yay!
There you go, kids.
Hey, kids.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Go back.
Go back in the tent.
Clean up the tent. Go back in the tent.
Don't play with the deadly snake. Yeah.
Don't tell them that. Okay. So you have the cheer squad is now sitting there. They're
pouting.
They're making s'mores inside the tent.
Oh, they don't make s'mores in Australia. You're crazy. All right.
They don't make s'mores in Australia, no. Which is why they're all thin here. So listen, here is Randy with a couple of heroes. For our tinfoil hats, Randy, your heroes,
I've
sir.
I've got two heroes this week. Now, the first one is actually an entire university. The University of Texas, you know, Texas, the Alcada. The Alcada and the T people. The girls there, the governor of Texas, the current governor of Texas, who's not Rick Perry and who's not... any of those other idiots, signed in a bill allowing campus carry. Campus carry meaning students can carry concealed handguns on a university campus. Now, you and I are both teachers, and we can see that this is fraught with danger. You don't give me an A, I'm going to fucking kill you. Bang! But anyway, the young ladies of the University of Texas, UT, decided they didn't like this, so they put together a Facebook page and a Twitter feed called Cox, not Glocks, and they decided to open carry sex toys. Open carry sex toys.
So they become New York City, really,
well,
basically.
Sort of. But the point is that it's illegal to openly carry a sex toy in Texas. So I think they're just...
So a Glock is okay, but the sex toy is wrong,
right?
Well,
the thing is that the Glock can be hidden, even. You can carry a concealed weapon when this law comes in next August. But in the
now, here's the question, Randy. Can I conceal a sex toy in my Glock?
Well, I don't think you can conceal a sex toy, and as long as it you don't let it get away from you, you can leave it on all day through class. Now, these young
because I'm going to Texas.
Now, this story went everywhere, including our good friends at the Young Turks and Anna Kasparian. Love Anna Kasparian; she's a great offset to Cenk Unger. So let's have a listen to the way she tells the story, and get the clown horn ready because she don't block her C-bombs.
Very good.
Okay.
What a girl.
Yeah.
Okay, here's Anna Kasparian.
Here's Anna Kasparian
from the Young Turks. You love a girl who speaks her mind. Here it is, Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks.
The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, signed into law a concealed carry measure that would allow students on university campuses to carry their guns. Well, it turns out that some University of Texas students are not too happy about this, and they staged a protest that they referred to as Cox, not Glocks. Awesome. Now, the way that they've been protesting this new law is they show up to the campuses carrying massive multicolored dildos.
Okay. For the win.
All right, so let me give you some more details on that. The Cox Not Glocks protests, or protesters, intend to openly carry brightly covered sex toys on campus in protest. We have a little picture showing you an example of a student with a dildo in her backpack.
The funny thing is, if I looked at that picture and you didn't tell me, I would have just thought that was an umbrella.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I would notice it.
All right.
Anyway,
interesting difference.
So one person says, Jessica Jin, who's the leader of this protest, says, yeah, well, I'm carrying a huge dildo, just about as effective as protecting us from sociopathic shooters, but much safer for recreational play.
Now, the love that.
The Facebook page for the group Campus Dildo Carry has since been flooded with abuse, which moderators are leaving in place to show the kind of aggressive hostility open carry zealots display when they find out they're being mocked.
Okay, I love that. Think about it, right? The dildo people are saying, hey, you people carrying guns around, you're dangerous and we're worried about you.
Yeah.
And so as a joke, they carry dildos around. And the people with the guns say, how dare you say that? I will hunt you down and kill you. I think you might have kind of proven their point. They were worried you were dangerous and you just said you were dangerous.
Yes. So,
and what are you all upset over? Over a fucking dildo, right?
I know.
So these guys should be carrying guns on campus? The guys who lose it? Because you carried a dildo around?
It's not just guys either. It's guys and girls. I mean, you read some of these comments on the Facebook page by men and women, and it's very scary. So let me give you some examples. One person says, I'm guessing that the organizer of this event is a huge slut. Should be funny to watch. Another person says, I've seen most...
By the way, ironically from Ron Cox. You would have thought he'd be part of Cox, not Glocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, another person says, I've seen most of you trolls tromping around campus. If you took as much time taking care of yourselves as you do trying to make meaningless political statements, you may not need the dildos and could actually have a real living penis waiting for you at home. Classy.
He called them trolls as he was trolling them on Facebook.
I know.
It's a troll within a troll. Dreidel's still spinning.
Yeah. And then a woman by the name of Becca Lynch wrote, I'm just gonna read it verbatim. You dumb cunts post a page like this, then report people for standing up to your pathetic bullshit. You nasty cunts need to be locked up, fucking ew. This kind of shit is exactly why my daughter won't attend one of these slut colleges.
So you're willing to give your daughter a gun and put her life in danger, and you're willing to send, and even if you don't give her a gun, you're willing to send her to her campus filled with guns.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, all right, guns, that's awesome. Honey, go right in, okay?
It's amazing.
But, oh, you sluts with your dildos, that sounds so dangerous.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious.
Oh, I love that how that Anna Kasparian wraps her lips around the C-bomb, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what's absolutely hilarious is the fact that linked to all this machismo bullshit that most of the gun nuts have is this completely latent misogyny. You know this.
Oh,
this,
without
this
a kind doubt.
They immediately go after them for not having a penis at home. You know, and it's just. It shows you, this is kind of like a tinfoil hat as well, because those comments relate directly to people who are mentally deranged assholes. You know, it's just, if you would sit there and come out with people who sit there and say, a sex toy, which gives pleasure, by the way. I don't know if the Glock gives pleasure, but evidently to these people, a Glock gives more pleasure than a sex toy. Yeah, a sex toy is supposed to give pleasure. Yeah,
but Bill, you've got to admit that both the Glock and the dildo are replacements for a dick.
Yes, absolutely. It's so true. And it shows you literally, this is what you're up against. When Bernie Sanders said in the debate, she says, you've never been in the Congress. It's true. These people are in the Congress and they represent these people. And these people are literally threatening these people. They're threatening them
and
calling them names. And, you know, Chink put it so well is the fact that, you know, it's like, how dare you say we're dangerous? Because I say because you say we're dangerous, I'm going to kill you. Irony doesn't occur to them. You know,
the worst
would be a part of this.
But the worst one was from another woman. The worst one was from another woman.
Yeah,
Who dropped all the C-bombs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you just sit there and go, where are you from? From what planet do you occupy?
Yeah, you know, so I think they are, these girls at the University of Texas. I mean, I love remembering the time from college and university when you would take on the establishment like this. And say fuck you to the man. That's why they're my angels. because they.
But you know
are...
what? The left always does it with humor. The left can, because the far right has no sense of humor. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, they just don't. I mean, these are people.
This is Texas.
These are people
who
think
Texas.
That Brian Kilmeade is funny. Yeah,
it is Texas.
It is Texas. It
so
is
they,
Texas.
But so
you know, I'll tell you,
my son
went to Texas. And he said that Austin, Texas, is probably the nicest place that he'd ever been. And you know, my son is a gay man, and he went to Texas, and he said inside Texas you have this Austin, Texas, which is totally a blue area. And there have been a lot of polls recently. Texas is turning blue. You know,
yeah.
So these white people in trailers, and I guarantee nine-tenths
yeah.
of them. Living in the old trailer, you know. I mean, these people basically are getting outnumbered now. You know, and that's why you have this immigration thing, because they're scared to death that, you know, these southern states, they're going to turn sooner or later. What's your other one?
Okay, now the other one, really quickly. Now, Michael Positari is his name. He's actually a blogger from Pasadena in Los Angeles. He blogs about a lot of other things, but he actually published this article, which I read and I thought, you are my hero. He said, and I quote, "Firearms are no longer a hobby for me." He says, "Today I went to my local police station and I asked for them to take my guns and have them destroyed. The task was fairly simple. I explained I had guns I wanted to get rid of at the front desk. They made a copy of my driver's license, then walked out to the car with me to retrieve them. We went back into the station to an interview room where we looked at the guns and they wrote down the serial numbers, looked them up to check about any issues, found none, and I left, no longer a gun owner." Now, he started over 10 years ago collecting guns and firearms, mainly for history. But then he wanted shooting, and he got shotguns. He used to take photos of himself. But he said, "Last week, I sat in a hotel room and watched the president talk about the latest mass shooting and how they had become routine and the concern that nothing would change. I started to shrug it off and pretend in my mind that there was nothing I could do. But the idea that gun culture doesn't bear some responsibility for the killings didn't make sense to me. I didn't want to be a part of gun culture anymore. I was never going to use these guns for self-defense. They were safely locked and out of reach. I don't hunt. I don't shoot. There are no dangerous animals where I live in Pasadena." Well, he obviously has never been to West LA, but anyway, "I'm not a police officer or a soldier. I'm not part of a well-regulated militia. There is no reason for me to have them. So I got rid of them. Firearms are no longer a hobby of mine."
I think that, listen, the cheer squad just came out of the tent.
What the hell? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. What do you think about that, kids?
Yay!
Yeah, that's right. What's this fellow's name?
I will just call him Michael. I can't say his last name. Pusateri. I guess it's Positari. He is a blogger,
Michael,
about
Positari,
video games. Yeah.
You are the opposite of a tinfoil hat. You represent the people that have guns but that are sane. And we like you here at the Bill Show, and that's a great hero. That's a good hero, Randy.
Well, I wish more people in America would do that. It's like what we did here in 96, except we actually said, take your guns to the police station, and we will give you a fair market price for them. And 600,000 guns turned up. But I guess it is a start.
Absolutely, Well, we're coming in at 128. It's another long show, but it's been a good one, Randy.
Yeah.
Always good to see your face while I'm on vacation. And, you know, the kids back here at the tent, they like you too. And we just want to remind everybody, if you want to get in touch with us and hear some of the clips, Randall's been doing some yeoman work on the website. And he's going to voice some clips up there today. TheBillShow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place on TheBillShow.net. And you can also... Now, this is new. We've been picked up by a podcast server in Germany.
Yabur.
Yabur. And we got 4-star ratings, so I'm very happy about that. The Germans love
us. Out of how many? Out of how many?
I don't know. Out of the 4. I don't know. Well, you know, I'll tell you, you know where a lot of people are listening? I want to send out a big hello to all the people who listen in Sweden. We have a rather large Swedish audience because obviously we say nice things about Sweden here. Danke. Danke. Over to Sweden. Bill Show, Cheer Squad, just one more. Now put down the some more. Here it is. This is for Sweden. Okay. This is for Sweden. Here you go. There you go, kids. Now get out of here. All right.
Hey, so, I saw the girl with a dragon tattoo. I love Sweden. Yeah.
I love Sweden. Well, listen, I'm over here in Queensland. My friend Randy is in Melbourne. We've been doing the FaceTime so that we make sure to get shows to you on a regular basis. We hope you've enjoyed it. And any final words there, Randy?
No, you're making faces. Funny faces to you.
Okay, we're going to say goodbye to you.
I love you guys. We'll see
you at 132. That's wave to our fans there, Randy.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys. See ya. See ya from the Bill Show.
Yay.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.